This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We got your calls. We'll continue to get to them on Overreaction Monday for the NFL at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart Scott, it's hour number three on an Overreaction Monday. When it's hour number three, what's that mean?
It's the power hour,
It is. It definitely is. Now, we'll table the football conversation here for a moment and get into some hoops, because what the Knicks needed yesterday was a game like they had against the Cleveland Cavaliers, where the Knicks had lost five straight at home, some painful losses, and Saturday afternoon losing to the Mavericks in the way they did, where they just got in the second half, just got blown out. And it was like back-to-back game. You come in, you have the Cavs coming in with, of course, the whole Donovan Mitchell story. And it was their best defensive performance at home of the season. They held the Cavs, a team that puts up threes like crazy, can score 81 points. And the Knicks get the win. And R.J. Barrett had 15 points for the Knicks in this game, 8 rebounds as well, and was a big part of a second half where the Knicks just took control and got a much-needed win. And Barrett joins us right now on the show. R.J., how you doing? Let me ask you a question out of the gate here. Yesterday's game had 13 travel violations called in it between the two teams. It was the most, Mike Breen said, of all season. Were you guys as confused about it during the game as the rest of us watching were?
I mean, you know, we understood the emphasis that they're putting on it now, but it's definitely, it was definitely tough, because you're like, I mean, some you feel like aren't travels, some were, but the way it's being called, you just never know. You got to try to find a way to win regardless of anything. And, I think it'll calm down, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
So we just got to hold on until then.
You got to ride through it, right? Like all these things happen.
Can I interject right now, Alan?
Yes.
Because I want to skip the pleasantries, right? Because I got something that personal I want to ask you. You know, because I have a love-hate relationship with you guys, right? I love you as a player. Ooh. I've been a big supporter. But I don't understand. It seems like when you play my Pistons, it seems like y'all take extra joy in kicking their ass like that, man. What's up with that, man? Mm-hmm. Is it something personal? Did the Bad Boys do something to you back in the day when you was watching or something like that? Or did the Rasheed Wallace Pistons piss you off when they beat the Lakers in the championship? Why do you guys kick their ass so much, man? And how far are they away?
I don't know, man. It's just trying to get wins, man. Trying to do whatever you
can. So it's not personal.
It's not personal.
Okay,
We're just trying to do what we need to do.
Okay. So now I can ask my real question then, since I know it's not personal. So now I can, I can woo-sigh a little bit.
No,
tell me this.
Can I ask him another personal question?
Oh, go away.
Because with all the rumors from the offseason, was, you know, when you played Donovan Mitchell, is that a little personal? I know you guys had a conversation after the game on the court, and I'm sure you guys have a good relationship, but, you know, when it's competition mm-hmm. time, do you look across and say, what, you're going to trade, you know, you're going to trade me for him? Okay. Like, you put a little extra something into your game with that in the back of your mind?
You know, he's a really cool person, great player, obviously. And, you know, like, a guy that worked with him in Utah, Johnny Bryant, is a guy I've been working with, you know, for the past couple of years. So, you know, just know a lot about him, really respect him, really respect his game. I think every game, like I said, you try to go in and win the game. But, you know, I can't lie and say that, you know, yesterday didn't feel a little extra good to win that game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell me this. You know, part of turning the narrative around and becoming a consistent winner is like identifying, you know, who your core is and, you know, moving forward, and who's going to kind of be that foundational pieces that you kind of grow with. And sometimes the other pieces change, but you have your fundamental pieces, your core. You know, bringing in a guy like Jalen Brunson, yourself, and, you know, also Julius Randle, you know, do you guys feel comfortable now with, say, okay, this is the team that we have, and this is our core, and we may add to this, but we're going to be together for a long time. You know, how does that work, and how's the chemistry and the nonverbal communication kind of growing as the season continues to grow a little bit?
You know, definitely with adding Jalen, especially him being such a big piece to our team. Again, you know, it takes a little bit of time, just, you know, to figure that out. as well as we're just trying to have fun and enjoy it too, because it's basketball. Everybody wants to win. Nothing's perfect. You know, there's going to be ups and downs during the season. You just got to stay together as a team. You know, I think we definitely have a good team, and as the season, you know, goes on, we just got to try to continue to keep figuring that out. And kind of like you said, like, we got to show up every night, especially just with the guys we said, like you said, you know, with me, Jalen, and Julius now, like, just being on the same page to show up every night and give our best effort, for real.
Talking with RJ Barrett on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. You mentioned that adjustment, the relationship, obviously, between three guys that I'm sure each one of you feel like, I can do it on a given night. You have that kind of confidence. Does it continue to be something that is like an evolution? Like, you've been playing with Julius now for 3 years, right? Like, you guys have been teammates. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, your fourth year together. Do you feel like by now he knows me, I know him? Because a lot of fans speculate about the relationship that you two have. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, man, you know, for sure. Definitely been playing with him for 4 years now, so we definitely know each other's tendencies. Even little things in a game that people don't see, like I know when he wants to ISO and go in the post verse, when he's going to come dribble handoff, or I know when I run to the corner and he's going to fake like he's going, but then he's going to pass it to me and I'll be ready. Like, just, you know, little things are easy because we've been playing together so long. So it's been fun to be a part of. We sit beside each other on the plane. So we've been sitting beside each other on the plane for 4 years now, you know. So I just, you know, that relationship has been growing for some time. And, it's fun having 30 out there.
You know, I always say that, you know, athletes get to this point where, like, the mind and the body meets. And we kind of saw that with Julius Randle a couple of years ago. You know, when you continue to kind of build your game, and then what happens is the game slows down to you mentally and physically. You're in your prime. You've been on a steady incline for like the last 3 years. What's next in your game, and where are you trying to improve in your game? What I'm asking is, what are you working on to kind of take your game to the next level, and what holes have you plugged up this offseason?
Definitely working on one. First thing I had to work on was just, you know, my free throws, man. I had to get more reps to become a better free throw shooter, because, you know, I feel like I've just been leaving points out there, mm-hmm. you know, on the line past couple of years. So that was a first focus. And then another focus is always going to be, you know, shooting, three-point shooting, shooting off the dribble. Those are always going to be things that you focus and work on. As well as knowing my game, you know, working on different finishes in the paint, different things I could do to be more effective.
And you guys are a team that gets into the paint and scores. I mean, between yourself, obviously you mentioned Julius, Jalen Brunson, another guy that's I think you and Jalen are among, like, the top players in scoring in the paint, or even just getting into the paint to be able to score. It's really where you do most of your work in a league where it's all three-point shooting. It just seems like everybody shoots threes. Is it that much harder this year to defend the three than maybe ever before? It just seems like there's a lot of teams that they put up a lot of threes, and on a given night they can get hot, and it can be an avalanche like we saw Saturday in that third quarter.
Yeah, man. Everybody can shoot nowadays. You know, sometimes, actually not. More often than not, you probably have, like, all five guys on the court that can shoot, you know, even the center. So the game has definitely been going that way. But I think no matter what, a guy that can get into the paint will always be valuable, because when you get into the paint, the defense collapses. And that's how a lot of teams get their wide-open threes, you know. So getting in the paint is always going to be something that needs to be done.
Yeah, and the defense obviously was something that did show up yesterday against the Cavs just in time, too, no doubt about it. RJ Barrett joining us here on the show. So RJ's participating in the American Express and NBA 2K23 lab. This is Saturday. Jalen Brunson can be part of it as well. RJ, just tell me what you're going to be doing here and what this is about.
Yeah, man. First of all, you know, I love 2K and stuff. So I play 2K all the time, just stuff like that. So this is gonna be, it's gonna be really cool. It's gonna be fun, especially knowing that Jalen is doing it too. Him and I actually talked about it a little bit, so we're excited.
Now, you know, do you do what I did when I play, when I was on Madden and I felt disrespected in my ratings?
Yeah, you were LB 57.
You didn't even
have a name.
Yeah, I have a name for like 4 years, man. I was like, hold up, am I getting cut or something? Did y'all hear something from the coaches? What's up? Like, do you reach out to those guys? Like, hey, man, listen, I can shoot a little bit better than y'all got me ranked up in this thing, man. I ain't that damn slow either.
I mean, you know, everybody always thinks they have a better ranking than what they do. but, nah, man, just I like to use the Knicks. Can't lie. I like to use the Knicks on there. It's a lot of fun. I use myself. Be playing against my friends. I'm always trying to drop 40 to myself. I mean, that's kind of what you got to do.
If you can envision it on the screen, maybe you can envision it in real life, right? As they say, you speak it into existence. Maybe you could play it into existence as well. Hey, RJ, it's good to catch up with you. I appreciate everything. You know, coming on the show obviously is a big part of this, but also being part of this thing as well. Just do me a favor. You guys have to put in earplugs at home. You can't hear it. You got to figure out. Because Tim Hardaway Jr. is talking about how this is a great shooting gym, and teams come in just wanting to just put up shots, and you know how it goes, man. You've been playing here long enough. But if all the people want to see is you guys play hard. All the rest of it will all fall into place, but it's all they want to hear. It's the negativity, I think, that will drive everyone crazy, and it's the hardest thing to get over. Playing in that building when the home crowd gets frustrated. I don't think there's another building in the league like it, but you know what it's like. You've been there. When things are going well, it's just no better place to be. So hang in there through all this. All right, my man?
That is a fact. I appreciate that.
All right. Yeah. RJ Barrett, again, New York Knicks. And again, it's participating in the American Express NBA 2K23 Lab. It's this Saturday. It's in New York City in Soho. It's part of like a celebration of things Amex is doing with NBA 2K3. It is something that you got the Theater Hub event. Users can play on an Amex branded basketball court, receive 2K experience points in the game used to improve their in-game digital avatars level. It's a pretty cool thing that they're doing this weekend. And card members can also receive 2K23 locker codes, helping them improve their in-game avatars level, which I know Bart and I both definitely need. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We get back to the NFL conversation here in just a moment because we do have to talk about Bart. That game in Minnesota where the Vikings had to hold on and the Jets just needed one more play that would have pulled out a very impressive win. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Fourth and 10 from the Vikings 19. Minnesota leads by 5. Za'Darius Smith comes flying up the center. Mike White hit as he throws. Throws to the goal stripe and it's intercepted by Cam Bynum. And that is your ball game. Cam Bynum with the second interception for him this season. Second today for Mike White. Why wouldn't it come down to the wire? Why wouldn't it be a spine jingler? Why wouldn't Mike White be throwing into the end zone trying to win the game? That's 2022 Minnesota Vikings football.
And the Jets lose. The Vikings hold on, Bart.
Yeah, hold on. I think that describes it perfectly.
That game was, what was it, 20-6, right, at the half?
Yeah, but that's only 14. Like, I know some people think that that's an insurmountable lead for the Jets to pick up. And, like, this is why I get irritated when you talk about when Miami fans call up and talk about all the excuses that they baked in. All this team does is just the next man shows up. I mean, who knew that Bam Knight was going to be the guy that was going to get you over the hump? Like, come on, man. We're on our fourth running back. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't have our two stud linemen, and George Fant just came back, the backup to the backup. We're out there with guys, and all this team does is show up. And, like, it's, you know, what I love is everybody used to make the Jets the butt of their jokes. Ain't nobody laughing now, right? Because this team is going to be something to be reckoned with, and I love what I saw. Yeah, would I have appreciated and wanted the victory? Absolutely. Did I wish that maybe that was Elijah Moore in that route combination and not Berrios? Absolutely. Did I hope that maybe they can find a way to pull it off? Yes. They didn't, but I tell you what, I still tip my cap to them. Players can't beat can't deal in moral victories. Fans can. And at this point, I'm a fan. And I see the building of something. I see a team that's going to have to be respected for the near future. I see a team that still has an opportunity to get in the postseason. I see a team that was made fun of when they were talking about receipts. I remember teams or players saying, hey, who, the Jets? And the Jets might be the team that's in the playoffs. And they went to Miami and may not even go to the playoffs because I just talked about their schedule going forward. So I tell you what, is Mike White the answer? I don't know. I don't think he disqualified himself, but I tell you what, he made some hell of a throws. One thing I do know, that Garrett Wilson is a beast. Hmm. One thing I do know is Vera Tucker is a beast. All I know is, listen, Becton is a guy that if healthy, can stay healthy, is one of the best linemen in the game. Physicality.
You like their future.
I know that. Exactly. And I tell you
like
what,
their future.
But everything that everybody said, I am proud that they went in there in a hostile environment in a young team, and they showed up.
Mike White, now again, you talk about their future, and you know, Garrett Wilson, you mentioned, 8 catches, 162 yards. 162 yards on 8 catches. That's an average of 20 yards. On 15 targets, he had 8 catches. And I remember two of those targets that he did not catch, fingertips. You're talking about led him just a little too far on a couple of those throws. Mike White, 31 of 57 attempts, 369 yards, 2 picks. The one at the end there, obviously, just, you know, one sack. Two picks
is a joke, too. One bounced off.
Well,
the one
was that early one, right, in the very first play.
And the other one is trying to win it.
Yeah, but, you know, defensively, in the beginning, you got concerned because it was 17 points you gave up in the second quarter, and it felt like Justin Jefferson was making big play after big play. But when you look at the end of the game, 7 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown for a guy that has been just shredding the league. You know, he only gets 45 yards in this game. But I'm looking at a couple of things that I wonder. I just wonder how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I got to know is not necessarily Mike White, but the other Mike, as in Mike LaFleur.
Yeah.
Were you happy with the play calling in the red zone when the Jets were right there on the doorstep and looked like they just can punch this in, and they just seemed like they couldn't at all punch it in the red zone in this game?
Yeah, I was not. I think he got a little cute a couple times. You know, when you get that close, I didn't like, you know, when Harrison Smith blitzed and stopped Bam Knight. You know, that should have never been allowed, because really what you want to do is you want downhill runs or outside runs. I would have came with a quick hitting quarterback under center and run a trap, right? Those are fast hitting, you know, and I probably would have put in Ty Johnson, who's 220 pounds. You know, we watched Patrick Mahomes get vertical, and all he had to do was break the plane. I was saying, why don't we just get in tight, bring in extra linemen, and just have somebody jump over the top? You're asking another linebacker to time up and stop you. All you have to do is break the plane, and it's a touchdown, whether the ball is fumbled or not. We saw Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't have any athleticism, jump over the top and get it done. Yeah. So, you know, I think if he had it, you know, if he had it all over again, he would come with a much different crop of plays. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you have to learn. You have to learn with Mike White. You know, it was a nice play with Braxton Berrios, and I know he wants to have that one back.
Yeah.
But the issue in the game, and the reason why I have so many throws, is because the team couldn't get off the field on third down. So I guess I want to talk about the adjustments that were made in the second half. So you talk about, you know, the fact that Minnesota was able to go up by 2 touchdowns. It's because the Jets' defense couldn't get off of the field, which didn't allow the offense to get into any type of rhythm, because they had 2 drives that was like over 6 or 7 minutes apiece in the first half. And the reason was, when they got to like 3rd and short and they were picking up all these 3rd and 2s and Justin Jefferson wants to pound his chest, it's because the Jets were playing with outside leverage and they were playing slightly off. And what they were trying to do is make sure that they didn't take that shot on 3rd and 2 to try and get an easy touchdown. And what they were doing is they were buzzing their linebackers. But what you have to understand is Kirk Cousins is a veteran. So he understands, even if you buzz your linebacker, because C.J. Mosley walks up in the line, he knows that he's going to run and sprint and go to the first thing that sits down. Kirk Cousins understands that it's a small area where the linebacker is going too far. knowing that the cornerback is playing outside leverage. So it was opportunities to be able to complete those balls for third and two. And that's what Justin Jefferson was doing. He wasn't hitting it with any big routes. Those were routes and catches that the defensive call allowed them to get, and they called the right route combinations to get it. But what happened in the second half? The Jets took that away and said, you know what, forget that linebacker. We're going to get in their chest, and we're going to press them. And now Kirk Cousins can't get an easy slant because we're not playing all 5 yards.
And Cousins, by the way, looked beat up in the second half. Like, the Jets got to him a few times, got a few hits on him, and the next thing you knew, like, you saw him on the sideline. There was that one time, I forget who it was that was bearing down. It might have been Franklin Myers.
Yep.
I mean, they only sacked him twice, but it feels like there was a couple of times when they got to him, he was in pain. And the whole second half, you saw him wincing a lot, and that, you know, again, it's what the Jets do defensively. There's something that Robert Saleh needs credit for, and that is the depth of this team. They don't have superstars, maybe. They're the household names, Aaron Donald.
They tend deep.
But they just keep sending guys in waves at you, and then they just wear you down. And that's why you see them at the end of games having the opportunity to win. I love this from Robert Saleh after the game. And like you said, Bart, it's no moral victories for players. But from a fan base that has seen this team a lot of times underachieve, this is watching something right now that you just have a feeling it's finally heading in the right direction. There's a little more fine-tuning that needs to be done, but it feels like it's heading in the right direction. And for Robert Saleh, he loves what he sees.
I'm proud to be this team's coach. I'm proud of every single person in that locker room. They absolutely fought their tails off. This team doesn't quit. There's no moral victories or anything like that, but if we play like that, I know we're going to win more often than not.
And that's certainly what you want to see. Can they win more often than not before the end of the season and actually
they held Kirk Cousins to under 200 yards. They held Kirk Cousins to 173 yards. I mean, that's pedestrian in most weekends. But they got the dub because they were able to extend drives. And that last drive in the fourth quarter where they kind of gave up an easy score was the first time that the defense kind of broke down a little bit when they found a way to kind of march down there easily, but they still recovered and gave themselves not one opportunity but two opportunities to win the game. And that's all you can ask for.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Let's get back to your calls on Overreaction Monday, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We get back to also talking about ties in football. Are you okay with them, or can we come up with something better to break the tie at the end of the game? Spartan Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get back to the calls here momentarily. Bart, if there's a way, like, you know, in the NHL, they have a shootout, right?
Yep.
You know, it's how you decide whether or not somebody wins or loses instead of having a tie. In the NBA, you just keep playing. Somebody eventually wins. In baseball now, they actually put a runner on second in the extra innings now. Is there anything you can do in the NFL? Like, would you be opposed to your kicker goes out, my kicker goes out, and we see who can make, like, just keep moving back 5 yards until someone misses?
No, I would not agree with that. One, because teams build their teams differently. And I
That'd
damn
be
sure
wild, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I damn sure, because that means the Ravens will win every freaking time. Like, I think that's, to me, that's unfair, because teams are built differently. Teams are built to kick indoors. Their team are built to play in certain conditions. Like, and for it to come down to some kickers, which I know sometimes it does, especially in overtime, here's the reason why they did that. They did it because a half a win in the NFL – is far more impactful than a half win in baseball or a half win in basketball, right? Because ultimately it's way more games to play. So a half a game in a league that only has 17 games is pretty damn good. And a lot of times that avoids people from having to go to the tiebreakers because of that half a game. So yeah. I think you keep it where it is, because this is a problem. If you guys can't figure it out, if we give you an extra quarter, then that's on y'all, because we can't continue to talk about player safety and then give guys more football to play. Like, we gave y'all the whole extra half.
I understand, which is why I use the kicker thing. And by the way, I'm half kidding, because I know nobody wants to see kickers decide a game
right.
like that. But, I mean, you can – I mean, look, Gano hits that field goal. Well, I'm saying Gano hits that field goal, the game's over. So a kicker is still deciding a lot of games at the very end. So why not? All right, you know what?
No, hell no.
We start at the 50. Your 50-yard field goal.
Hell no.
And if you both make a 50, we make it a 55. And if you both make a 55, we make it a 60.
Hell no.
Until someone misses.
So that means they both kicking in the same direction then, too. Right? Because it's unfair to kick one guy kicking into the wind. The other guy kicking.
You're not kicking simultaneously. But you're not kicking simultaneously. So, of course, one guy goes, the next guy goes.
So how does this look like pressure, like practice? All right, move it back five, and then they run off, and then you run all your people on. You know how that'll look to the fans, looking like, what the? Like,
it'd be hilarious.
Got the kicker over there.
Pressure's on you. You're like, damn, Tucker just made a 60. I got to make a 60 to keep us alive. I can't reach from 60. Like all kinds of craziness could happen there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you're basically saying is, okay, let's do something different. Okay. Let's have a free throw shooting contest to decide who wins an overtime game in football. Okay, you're going against Steph Curry. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, we both hit your free throws, so let's go shoot threes. Oh, hell no. That ain't fair. That's how fair it would be for a football team.
You got to make a layup. You got to make a free throw. You got to make a three, then a half-court shot. Whoever can do that, you win the game.
Exactly.
Brian Daboll, how does he feel about finishing this game against the Commanders in a important one in a tie? Reporters were asking him.
Generally, like, what do you think of finishing a game in a tie? It's like an awkward situation. Are you happy that you finished in a tie?
No, you always like to win the game. But there's some things we can do better, and that's what we'll try to do.
Well, Graham Gano, not enough leg. That's really the only thing they could have done better there, or just get a stop. Let's grab some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Neil on Long Island's been waiting a bit here. Neil, how are you?
Excellent, guys. Bart, I want to tell you, I'm a Jet fan, 54 years, and you have surpassed me in the knowledge of the Jets. I rely on you post-game, pre-game, listen to the radio, everything you do on ESPN. You are the ultimate respect that I have as a Jet fan, and there's not many that I could say that for. Okay, let's start with that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, Bart, I have something I think you're going to find very interesting. When Mike White was in the post game talking about what he was looking for in the end zone when Barrios dropped the ball, he was very insightful. He said what everybody took away. He took away the end zone for
Coughlin,
on the pylon for Garrett Wilson. He took this away. He took that away. I have the answer, Bart, because that's a weakness, because Mike White is not the most athletic guy inside the 10-yard line. He's not going to run for the end zone, and the defenses know it. So they load everybody in the back end. When they see it's not going to be a run, everybody runs to the end zone, and it's very hard to find somebody at that point. I have the answer, and he's on our roster. You know who it is?
But you want Elijah Moore to play Wildcat? You want Elijah Moore to play Wildcat? Be a little Taysom Hill?
No, I want the guy that is our Taysom Hill.
He's
6'1", 220. His name is Chris Streveler.
Chris Streveler.
Hang on, let me finish. Chris Streveler, you bring him in just for that red zone inside the 10, out of dynamic. He could run the ball. He could throw the ball. If you look at his tape when he was in Winnipeg, the guy is amazing. He's impossible to bring down.
Dual threat.
And he could be our answer. And that would, if you could talk to Mike LaFleur and get a little brain on him because he needs a little help, that is our answer. I want your thoughts.
No, I'll call, but this is the only problem with what they would push back on. Like, they would love to be able to have that in the red zone with all things being considered, that he would have been great for yesterday. But if you do that, that means you have three quarterbacks up. That means he has to become Taysom Hill and be able to be a great special teams player as well. Yeah. So now, because if not, you're taking somebody out, and then now when Max Mitchell goes down or the other tackle isn't playing well, you don't have a fan to go to because you don't have the depth at certain positions. And the Jets do something super unique that a lot of teams don't do. They dress 10 defensive linemen because you can't not keep Huff up because Huff is dynamic and he's the closer and he's won a lot of games for us. So if you put him up, you might have to put Huff down. So those are the things when you talk about not being able to have the availability of your entire roster, because those are the things that you have to consider. Are we bringing him in for one play or, you know, situational football when he only can help us for maybe five situations?
Just the potential
that,
of the
right,
play.
That may not ever come up.
I'll say this, and Neil, thanks for the call. Very insightful.
That's great, though.
Yeah, because Streveler is that guy that everybody saw in the preseason and thought, oh, like he produces. Like he does something, and it made you want to see more, but we didn't really get to see it during the season at all. I mean, I think we – what did he get? Did he get one snap that one time? I know there was one game I think he just got in for one snap, but – It's a dynamic that we all get excited about, but the fans, which you just explained, was very important because you explained to fans what happens when you activate a player, especially a quarterback who's situational like this, is he's got to be able to do other things. Otherwise, you're pretty much down a man now.
And he has to buy in because he's going to get his ass knocked off on special teams.
Yeah.
So he has to be a tough guy. Taysom Hill goes down. He's a punt protector. He's a guy that's going down there laying his throwing shoulder into people. So if you want to be that type, listen, yeah, Ray Lucas did that, right? He was a guy that he was a quarterback that actually ran down on kickoff. If he's willing to do that, then you put him up. But he has to buy into that, and that's not an easy sell to a quarterback at times. But he can definitely be up and be the emergency third down, but it's really he has to show that he can play special teams. That's the reason why Mims was down for a long time.
All right, I'm hearing we have some breaking news and more baseball breaking news.
Aaron Judge to the Mets.
Is it Trey Turner?
Trey Turner.
Ooh, I love Trey Turner. Please tell me he went to the Mets.
To the Phillies.
Damn.
Philadelphia.
Coming back to the division.
$300 million deal over 11 years is what I'm seeing.
They love giving out these
deals. They got a lot of money, though.
Deals.
Yeah. Jeff Passan with the report.
Is it like the Edwin Diaz, like where he get paid in 2050?
Oh, the deferred payments?
Let me tell you something. That's a good move. Really good move for the Phillies.
You talk about speed, man. Mm-hmm. The Mets need somebody like that. That's a bat that can run. The Mets need that.
I think the Mets need Bol Bol. That's what the Mets need.
The Bol Mets Bol. Need Timmy Trumpet.
The Pistons need Bol Bol. Do we need to? Do we need to put it out to the peoples? Let's see how the peoples feel. Let's see how the peoples feel about the Grom and about Verlander. I mean, we haven't touched that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. What's up? How they feel about that?
Well, we have one segment left in the show, so that's what we'll do. We'll get your calls, of course, and we got a Monday night preview to do as well as Week 13 finishes off tonight with the Saints and the Bucks. I know, not a great one, but you never know. Tom Brady, always something happening when Tom Brady's around. So we'll get to all that next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. All right, so we have one game left in Week 13. Let's get into a little Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You've got, it's Bucs Saints. Now, normally this is like one of those, this is a good game, right, Bart? I mean, normally you see these two teams and it's generally,
yeah.
Tom Brady has a hard time since he's gone to Tampa beating New Orleans. But, I'm not sure we're feeling that, right?
Yeah, it's crazy because if the Saints win, they're half game out of first place.
You know what? We thought that about the Falcons, but, Atlanta, I'm looking at them like, do you guys want to win?
But the thing is, we know somebody has to win this game. So either Tampa wins or they lose. It's a 50-50. It's a 50% chance.
Or you could have a tie. We did see that yesterday.
Well, then there'll only be one game back instead of a
It's like I said, it's one of those weird Monday night games that you'd think, like, when you look at the marquee.
Though.
Right. You look at the marquee and you're like, damn, like, all right. But,
I wonder,
the Saints can't score. Like, the offense is completely just a mess.
I wonder this. Would you do this? If you're Jameis Winston, do you say, hey, will you play, guys, please cut me?
Ooh.
So then I can go to the 49ers?
I thought everything's broken. Isn't he broken all over?
No. It takes 6 weeks for something to be unbroken that's broken. And it's been well over 6 weeks. So would you say, hey, cut me? You're going to get your money regardless. That's the thing. He's going to get paid regardless. So if they cut him.
Again, waivers, right?
Okay, who the hell going to pick up Jameis Winston?
You're trying to suggest that the Niners would.
Yes. Ain't nobody else going to pick him up because he ain't going to play for nobody else.
Did I ever tell you who – all right, so let's play this little game again tonight. Like, on the Tampa side, obviously, there's Brady starting. On the Saints side, it's not Jameis, as you mentioned. No,
Andy Dalton.
Who has the worst winning percentage in primetime games?
It's not Kirk Cousins,
although we all joke about Kirk Cousins.
It's Andy Dalton. It's not even close. Andy Dalton.
No, Andy Dalton is close. But if he loses again, it might change. He's 6-20. Jeff George is 5-17 in primetime.
Yeah. Jeff George.
So if Andy Dalton loses a 6-21, I wonder, because it's 227-231. Would he move close enough? I didn't realize he was that. Andy Dalton, all those years in Cincinnati, he didn't win at all. They were on primetime several times. Kerry Collins, by the way, is third, 8-19, and then Jim Everett. 8-17, in case anybody cared about that. But it just, it's a primetime game. We'll watch it. It's Tom Brady.
I don't think
Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping veterans move their lives forward since 2013. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. So, Bart, we have Monday Night Football, and then we get into the teeth of December football, Week 14 and everything else with it. So with that, we will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.